Good evening, everyone. My name is Savannah, and I'm so grateful that you came to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time out this evening to join us. Tonight, State Senator Jay Costa of the 43rd Senatorial District will be taking your calls and questions as he shares some important information about the upcoming November 4th election. Senator Costa is joined tonight by Secretary of the Commonwealth Al Schmidt, who will also be answering your questions. As a reminder, if you have a question anytime tonight and would like to join the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. That's star 3 on your keypad. So without any further ado, let me hand it over to Senator Jay Costa.
Well, thank you very much, Sav. Good evening, everyone. As Sav mentioned, my name is Jay Costa, and I have the privilege of representing the 43rd District in Allegheny County in the Pennsylvania State Senate and serve as Democratic leader. I want to welcome you to our telephone town hall, one of a number of these events we hold 4 or 5 times each year, and say thank you to our friends and neighbors within our district who are participating. As staff stated earlier, tonight we will spend the next hour or so discussing some very important information about the upcoming election on Tuesday, November 4th. And I'm very happy to invite you today to the telephone town hall with our Secretary of the Commonwealth, Al Schmidt, who has jurisdiction over our election activities in Pennsylvania. First of all, I want to say thank you for all of you who will be exercising your right to vote this year. It's important for everyone to make sure their voices are heard every year, both in the primary and the general election as well. Today's conversation hopefully will answer some of your questions about how to make your voice heard and how Pennsylvania makes sure that every voice is accurately heard and counted. Now, this year, the general election is November 4th, and polling places open, as you probably know, from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. You can find your polling place and learn how to return your no-excuse mail-in ballot by going to vote.pa.gov. That's vote.pa.gov. Now, you have until Monday, October 28th, to request your no-excuse mail-in ballot or absentee ballot. And you can do this in Allegheny County at the Allegheny County Board of Elections or online, again, as I mentioned, vote.pa.gov. Now, this year, you have the opportunity to vote on many local offices, including Court of Common Pleas judges, statewide judges, school directors, sheriff, mayor, and many more. What's most important to note is on the back of your ballot, you will be asked to vote on whether to retain justices of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, 3 of them, a judge on the Superior Court of Pennsylvania, and a judge on the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania, as well as a number of Court of Common Plea positions who are up for retention as well. Now, I strongly encourage everyone to make sure you flip your ballot over and answer all the questions on the retention questions. That means you've got to turn your ballot over and answer those questions on the back. Make sure that you do that, because otherwise a lot of folks may miss that, and it's important that they make sure they do that. Now, I'm going to hand the program over to Secretary Schmidt to open our discussion and allow him to offer a few words about the upcoming election before we move on to questions from all the folks who are listening. Secretary Schmidt, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator. And if you don't mind, I'd like to begin by saying and expressing the appreciation of our staff here, especially our communications team, with all the work that you do when it comes to voter education on social media, and you and your team in making sure voters have access to reliable information when it comes to deadlines and when it comes to whatever the requirements are to vote and have your vote counted. I also want to say, even though I wasn't born or grew up in your district, I think I've mentioned to you in passing, I was born just across the river, just across the Allegheny on Troy Hill, and lived there for a while. So this is a little bit close to home, and I appreciate the opportunity to answer any questions that your constituents have.
Thank you very much, Doctor. I appreciate that. It's always good to have a Yinzer on the line in such an important position going, along those lines. So, Sav, you know we have some questions from folks who have called in with questions. You want to start by asking some of those questions to me or Senator Carrier?
Yep, a few people have asked some questions online. As a reminder, if you have a question that you would like to ask of Senator Costa or Secretary Schmidt, you can press star 3 on your keypad, and we'll get to your question as soon as we can. But first, we're going to start with some questions from folks online. These are primarily for you, Secretary Schmidt. Number one, how can I be sure my mail-in ballot has been delivered after I put it in the mail?
When you apply for a mail-in ballot in Pennsylvania, whether you apply on a written application or online, you have the opportunity to enter in an email address. And when you include an email address, your Board of Elections, when they process your application, will enter that email address. That way, whenever your ballot is being prepared, when it is sent out, when it is returned and in their hands and when it's counted. You'll receive email updates every step of the way. One thing that happens a lot, especially with couples or people who are living together, one person will include an email address, another person won't. One person will be receiving updates, but the other one won't. And they'll be afraid their ballot is not being sent to them or has been returned or whatever else. It's really an easy way, if you include your email address, to get updates every step of the way, so you have that sort of certainty and that sense of really knowing along the way that your ballot is being processed and returned. So if you have an email address and you check it, I would encourage you to include it in your application so you can get those updates.
Thank you so much, Secretary. I have a few more questions I'm going to go through from some of the listeners online. A number of people have asked whether things in the election will move things forward or if their vote really matters. Can you talk a little bit about why it's important to vote in this election?
It sounds like something a Secretary of State would say, but I assure you it's very true. Every vote matters in every election. And while presidential elections usually get the most attention and have the highest turnout, that doesn't mean, respectfully, that they're any more or less important than this election cycle. This election cycle, usually referred to an off-year election or a municipal election, is really where you're choosing people to represent you closest to home, whether it's a school board or a township supervisor, or in Pennsylvania, we elect judges, both for their election and also for their retention. So don't think for a moment that this is not an important election and that it's not worth participating. And you have many opportunities to do it. Even though the deadline to register to vote is behind us, that was yesterday, the deadline to apply for a mail-in ballot, as the Senator mentioned before, is the 28th of October. So it's a week from today for you to submit that application. And you can do it online at vote.pa.gov. Or if you choose to vote on Election Day, the polls will be open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. for you to show up at your local precinct, cast your vote, and make your voice heard.
Mr. Secretary, quick question about how important it is to properly fill out the ballot in the outside envelope with dates and the like. What's the status of the law in that regard right now? How important is it for folks to complete with accurate information both on the ballot but also on the envelope as well?
So that's a great question, Senator. I should have mentioned it. So you may have heard a lot of back and forth in the news about sort of legal cases related to mail-in ballots. Most of those matters have largely been settled, but there is no doubt that mail-in ballot voting is here to stay in Pennsylvania. Most of it deals with what's required for that ballot to be counted. Up until several months ago, it was required that when voters complete their mail-in ballot envelope, they sign it and include the date when they filled it out. Sometimes voters, especially older voters, would sign it and include their birthday instead. It didn't happen a lot, but it did occasionally happen. And I have to say, running elections at the county level for 10 years, it is heartbreaking when you receive a ballot back and it can't be counted, despite it being cast by an eligible voter and it being returned on or before Election Day. We have, at Department of State, worked with the counties to completely revise the instructions, to completely revise the design of that outer envelope that we're talking about, so to minimize mistakes that voters could make. So it's important when completing it to sign and date your outer envelope. Right now, according to the courts, if it's not dated, that ballot will be counted anyway. But the instructions are very simple. It's just a matter of signing and dating the outer envelope. So you'd complete your ballot. You would insert that in what's called a secrecy envelope, which is clearly marked. You insert that envelope in the outer envelope, seal it, sign it, and date it, and return it to your Board of Elections. And that ballot has to be back by 8 p.m. on Election Day, back in the hands of your Board of Elections. So it's not a matter of like dropping it in the mail that day or anything else like that. It has to be in their hands or returned to the County Board of Elections or County Board of Elections drop box, if counties have them, by 8 p.m. on Election Day for it to be counted. again, the process is very simple. We work with our county partners to make sure that it's simplified and it's clear. And through the revisions, we've seen a really significant reduction. Even though the number was never a significant number, every vote is precious. So we've really driven down the number of ballots that weren't counted as a result of voters failing to sign it.
Thank you very much. We have a question from Angelina. I'm sorry, Angelina, you want to ask your question about the election process and the budget? Angelina, can you hear us? Okay.
Well, Secretary, can you answer that question anyway? Will there be, go ahead, Angelina, you're on the air.
Oh, apologies. I was just wanting to ask if we have to be concerned about the election process being affected by the budget impact and how we can both support our county elections offices in counting everything in a timely way and what we could do as constituents just to try to support our local reps in getting something on the table.
Well, Andrew, go ahead, Secretary.
No, I'm sorry, Senator, please.
No, you're good. I think you'll be able to answer this question better than I can with regard to county elections being able to execute the elections.
Yeah, elections in Pennsylvania are really run at the county level, and almost all of their funding comes from the county level. So despite the impasse in Washington and here in Harrisburg, none of that should have an impact on the functioning of county boards of elections. Of the Department of State, our team is still working together every day, all day, all week to make sure that we provide both needed oversight, which is required, but also support to our county election officials to make sure that the training that they need and any issues that arise, we can help them through that process. But while it impacts greatly other the functioning of other government agencies, in our case, when it comes to elections, I don't really see it having an impact, and it should not dissuade voters from participating. And the most important thing you can do, frankly, to support the people who run elections is, you know, if you go to a county board of elections office to apply for a mail-in ballot on the spot and receive it and return it, I would thank them. When you go to your local precinct and polling place on election day, just say that you appreciate, you know, their service. It's a long day. These people work very hard to make sure that your vote can be cast and counted. So it really, like I said, goes a long way to just thank them for their service.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. The next question I have is from Allie. Can you hear us? Okay. How about the next one? It looks like Jessica. I'm not sure why we're having technical issues here, but Allie's question is, why does Pennsylvania still have closed primaries? Mr. Secretary, you want to address that, and I'll weigh in as well?
Yeah, the law in Pennsylvania is that in primary elections, so remember this is a general election on November 4th, but we have primary elections every year, that voters have to be registered in a major party, that's Democratic or Republican, to participate in that primary, unless there's also something called ballot questions on the ballot, where a voter would vote on a change to the state constitution or a change to maybe a county charter or something else like that, or authorizing borrowing money to pay for infrastructure projects. So there's plenty of primaries where independent or non-major party voters can participate, but only participate on those questions. In Pennsylvania, you have to be a member of a major party and can only vote for the nominees, to select the nominees for that major party in your own party. So if you're a Democrat, you can only vote in the Democratic primary. If you're a Republican, you can only vote in the Republican primary. Other states have what are called, not all other states, but many other states have something called open primaries, which allow voters, regardless of how they're registered, to cast their vote in the primary for any candidate in any party. We don't have that in Pennsylvania. It's been the law for some time now, and we do have a closed primary system. So if you want to vote in a primary, you have to be registered in a major party unless there are those sort of ballot questions that I mentioned on the ballot as well.
So as it relates to changes in the law to allow for any closed primaries, and I've been supportive of measures along those lines, there have been bills that have passed either one chamber or the other here in Harrisburg, but never been able to get to the governor's desk that would address that. A lot of times, my recollection is that there are non-affiliated voters who want the opportunity to vote. And that conversation, you know, I think there's legislation pending right now, given that we're in this budget situation right now and denominating all of our time. I don't know whether or not we're going to get to that anytime soon, but I do think that that's a subject that comes up frequently, and I believe that we're going to be dealing with it possibly next year before we get into the next year's election, which will be legislative and gubernatorial race. Next one we have online is Jessica from Switchbell. Jessica, you want to go ahead? I'm not sure why we don't have Jessica on the line.
Oops, is it working now? Hello?
Jessica, yes.
Yeah, hi. This is Jessica. I'm calling about just some concerns. There have been people that are not 100% confident that their vote was counted in the way that they intended it to be cast. So basically doubt and, you know, I voted for so-and-so or I voted yes, but maybe my vote was counted as a no or somebody else. Is there any way to verify who or how your ballot was counted or who you voted for or what you voted for after the ballot has been cast?
Jessica, that's a great question, especially because confidence on our elections is so important, and voters are subjected to so much election misinformation and disinformation that really confuses a lot of people at a time where we probably have never had more interest when it comes to election administration ever before. What I can say in Pennsylvania is that every voter in Pennsylvania, whether it's by mail, obviously, or in person, votes on a paper ballot. So whether it's a hand-marked paper ballot or in some counties using a ballot marking device to mark the ballot, mark their selection for them, or their vote is cast using a paper ballot, and those paper ballots are used in two audits after every election. The votes cast in each county are counted in each county, and then those counties report the results up to us. And then Department of State in its oversight role also has reported to them the outcomes of two audits where those results and a percentage of those results are recounted to make sure that they were counted accurately the first time around. So, you know, it's kind of curious in a way. We're at a spot where confidence in elections is so under siege, and yet elections in Pennsylvania and across the country have never been more safe and secure with a paper ballot record of every vote that's cast that is not only counted, but audited twice in every county.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Now we're going to go to Ryan from Pittsburgh. Ryan, can you hear us? While we're waiting for Ryan to join us, staff, we have some more questions online. Secretary?
We sure do. Let me pull them up very quickly. Somebody asked, how does early voting work? Ooh, Ryan, I think, is online.
Yeah. Yeah, my question is somewhat related to the previous one. I read in the news recently that one of the companies that produces voting machines used in some places in Pennsylvania, which is Dominion, that company was purchased by a private individual. I was wondering if there's going to be additional guidance presented to the counties as to whether or not those machines are considered usable. I understand that there's the paper ballot, but, you know, that kind of thing creates the appearance of impropriety.
The voting systems in every county have been certified both at the federal level and at the state level to ensure that the tabulation process is accurate. And I did certainly see in the news about the acquisition of one voting system vendor, but those systems have already been certified at the federal level, certified at the state level. Some counties use them, other counties use other vendors. But there's not only the audits after the fact, but on the front end, all that whole certification process takes place to make sure that the machines are reliable when it comes to either a ballot marking device or a tabulation, a tabulator used to total votes.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I appreciate you taking my question.
Thank you for the call. Sav, you have a couple questions online. You want to go ahead and do those?
I do. We're going to do a few in a row, Secretary. Shelley asked, I'm concerned about the Trump administration and the Department of Justice requesting sensitive voter data from the states. Has Pennsylvania gotten any such requests?
Shelley, yes. Pennsylvania did get those requests from the Department of Justice, just like many other states have, red and blue states alike. We did not and will not provide that information to the Department of Justice. It really wasn't a decision that we had to make because our state law, our state constitution, and our reading of federal law would even prohibit us from disclosing it. We're talking about Social Security numbers. We're talking about driver's license numbers for 8.8 million Pennsylvanians. So it's very sensitive data. One thing that I have noticed, and I can't speak for my fellow secretaries across the country, but there hasn't been a lot of difference between Republican secretaries and Democratic secretaries in terms of the responses to these letters for the most part. Their state laws also prohibit them from providing this sensitive information. We haven't, and, you know, unless there's some sort of court order or otherwise, we won't.
Mr. Secretary, you may remember 3 years or so ago where our Senate Republican caucus here in Harrisburg issued subpoenas out of the committee I served on to access over 7 million records of voters. And as you know, we fought that and continue to fight it, and we were successful in prohibiting, along with yourselves and others, to make sure that we protected that information, voting records, that's for your social number, addresses, and the like. And I want to appreciate your efforts along those lines to do that and preventing that information from being disclosed. Our Republican colleagues spent over $500,000 advocating for that information, and thankfully for the courts to be able to stand with us to make sure that that information wasn't revealed. Sav, you have some other questions?
I do. Secretary, somebody asked, what happens if I'm sick or have an emergency on election day? How can I vote?
So there's always, in Pennsylvania election law, there's always the ability for voters to still cast their ballot up until the polls being closed at 8 p.m. on election night. In this case, if you plan to vote at the polls on election day and you can't for some reason, there is the opportunity to vote by something called an emergency absentee ballot, where you can fill out a form essentially to authorize, or fill out an application and a form to authorize someone else to take your emergency application to the county courthouse, where it would be determined whether you are eligible or not. And if approved, then that person would be provided under those extreme circumstances with your ballot for it to be taken to you for you to complete the affidavit and everything else involved with it, and then it be returned to the County Board of Elections. That happens extremely rarely. And again, I ran elections for 10 years at the county level. It does sometimes happen when there's some sort of emergency on election day or some sort of emergency that prohibits you from voting on election day after the deadline to apply. But there is always a mechanism to do that. And you can reach out to your County Board of Elections and get whatever forms are necessary to vote that way. I would repeat again that the deadline to apply to vote by mail, if you choose to vote that way, is October 28th. If you do want to vote that way, I would not delay. while that's the deadline, and you'd be following the law by applying up until and including October 28th, it's important to not delay. The ballot application has to be processed, and if approved by the County Board of Elections, for that ballot to be sent out for you to complete, and even if you don't leave it sitting around on your kitchen table for a couple of days, and for you to mail it back or return it to the County Board of Elections, it's not a lot of time. So if you're going to vote by mail, I would encourage you to go to vote.pa.gov to apply to vote for a mail-in ballot. So it'll reach you in time, and you can return it in time.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We now have Christine on the call from Edgewood. Christine, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
The election workers and all the staff that work throughout the municipalities in the state to ensure that we have the best election process possible. So I want to say thank you first, and then I'd like to ask the Secretary and you as well, Senator Costa, how can people become more involved? I've heard some questions this evening, questioning the process, questioning what happened, but I know that you're always looking for volunteers to staff polling
sites,
correct?
Yes, that's very true. On election day, there are nearly, I believe, 9,000 people who work the polls across Pennsylvania to make sure that you can cast your vote and have your vote counted. And it's incredibly important work. And on election day, the most important person is certainly not the Secretary of State or even a county board of elections or commissioner or anything like that. It's the people who volunteer to work on election day, and poll workers play an important role. Every precinct in Pennsylvania has about 5 people who serve in that capacity on election day and provide the necessary checks and balances and the process that makes voting possible. So if you're looking to get involved in elections, or you want to learn more about elections and understand them from the inside out and how safe and secure they are, there's probably no better way than serving as a poll worker on election day.
How would you do that?
I think in Allegheny County, I think by reaching out to the County Elections Department, I think they're soliciting folks who would work at the polling locations. And that's one way to get engaged, as well as working at, you know, at the warehouse and along those lines. I think something is in the mix as well. And I think when folks have the opportunity to do that, they'll get a better handle and a better understanding and have greater faith in terms of the process, as we talked about. But I think that's the best way to be able to do it, contact the election department in Allegheny County or in other places across the state who are soliciting individuals to work through on election day and thereafter as well.
That's very true. You can reach out to the county directly, or you can even go to us at vote.pa.gov and submit your interest in serving as a poll worker, and we will take that and provide it for the county. And to clarify and repeat, we have about 45,000 people in Pennsylvania working as poll workers on election day at more than 9,000 polling places. So typically there is an opportunity to serve in that important role if you're so inclined.
And I would say in terms of expressing appreciation for the poll workers that we have across the Commonwealth, I think it's really important to do that, to thank them when we're voting and going through that process. My colleague earlier today on the Senate floor, Senator Nick Piscitano, talked about a Senate resolution that he has that would recognize the first week of November as Voter Working Poll Worker Appreciation Day. It's those little things that we can do to let folks know how important their work is and how critical it is to our democracy that we have a system that people have faith in and that they work hard to protect. And quite frankly, on another note, it wouldn't hurt to pay them a little bit more, so that we understand that, that I know that's not why they do it, but I think they need to be compensated in an appropriate manner to be able to, you know, take the time out of their full day to be able to be part of our democracy.
Thank you so much, Senator and Secretary. As a reminder to anyone on the call who would like to ask a question to the Senator or the Secretary, you can press *3 on your keypad, and we will get to your question as soon as we can. Secretary, someone wrote in and said, I've read reports that some ballots are too heavy to mail. What should I do?
I haven't heard of it where ballots are too heavy to mail. Yeah, that's just not something I've encountered or heard of. I would repeat what the senator said at the very beginning, to make sure that you check, if you vote by mail, you check both sides of the ballot. There's only so much space on a piece of paper, and most ballots are two-sided, or you know, there are selections on both sides. On the second side in this election, in most counties, are the retention races for any number of courts in Pennsylvania. But if you're voting to extend the term of the people currently serving at all sorts of different levels in the judicial system here in Pennsylvania, where it's the Pennsylvania Supreme Court all the way down in Philadelphia to municipal court, and you can vote on that as well. But I'd make sure that the ballot is completed on both sides, but I haven't heard of anything where ballots are too heavy to mail.
Wonderful. There's another, do you want to read it?
Yeah, there's one other question I want to ask for someone. The question is, I'd like to ask about write-in races. There is one contest on my ballot which has no options other than write-in options. How does that work? Can you explain the write-in process along those lines, Mr. Secretary?
Yeah, sometimes for some offices, especially really local offices or precinct level offices, no candidate will file to run. And when that happens, you have the ability, you always have the ability to write in a candidate for any office other than the ones who are listed on the ballot. But sometimes no one files to run for the office. And you can do what you described, which is a write-in vote, where you write in the name of the candidate that you would like to hold that office. That ballot goes back. The Board of Elections painstakingly in every county goes through every write-in vote to tabulate the total number of votes cast by write-ins, whether it's handwritten on a mail-in ballot or using a ballot marking device where it's typed in and printed on the ballot to total up the write-in votes. And if no one is running for that office and you get enough write-in votes, then that candidate would win.
Mr. Secretary, with respect to getting enough votes to win, what's the numbers that folks will need? Like, for example, a local municipal race, municipal council race, or a countywide row office, or some legislative race, what would be the number necessary to be successful? Is there any correlation to the number of signatures needed or anything like that?
In the primary, for a write-in to be a party nominee, the number of write-ins that you'd need to receive would be the same as the number of signatures that you'd need to submit to be on the ballot. So candidates don't just get to put their name on the ballot. They have to, in Pennsylvania, circulate what are called nomination petitions to collect a certain number of signatures. And it varies by office, whether it's 300 or 1,000 to have your name appear, or 500 or 1,000, to have your name appear on the ballot. Other than that, you could do a write-in in the primary, and the number of write-ins would need to at least be the number of signatures that would have to be submitted to win the primary. In the general election, Senator, it's really a totally different thing. The law says the highest vote getter wins. So if somebody is running for a precinct level office, whether it's to serve on an election board or as a Democratic or Republican committee person or something like that, the highest vote getter would win that office, even if it's one vote, if it's one more than anyone else received. So write-in votes are counted by the county. They are counted just the same as any other vote. And it's a tough process. So I wouldn't just write in random names if you don't really care, because it is a lot of work. But yeah, if you do, you do have the ability to cast a vote by write-in ballot.
Yeah, thank you for explaining the differences there. I'm going to ask Maureen from Swissville. Maureen, can you hear us and ask your question? I'm not sure why our system is not working accurately today. We also have Linda. Maybe Linda can jump on as well. Okay? Well, let me ask this question. Somebody has a question on provisional ballots that I'm looking at here. What is a provisional ballot, and what is the status of a provisional ballot in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's also a good question. If you show up to vote on election day at your local polling place, and your name does not appear on the in the poll book, you have the ability to cast your vote by what's called a provisional ballot, which is almost like a mail-in ballot. It's a hand-marked ballot where you make your selections, you complete, you put it in the secrecy envelope, you put it in the outer envelope, you sign it. The local people working at that polling place, they would sign it. We've also revised those to make them more user-friendly, to minimize the opportunity for people to make mistakes. But it's basically, if you show up at your polling place and your name is not appearing in the poll book and you believe that you are an eligible registered voter at that precinct, then you would vote by provisional ballot. After that, in the days following Election Day, provisional ballots are processed by the Board of Elections. And if it turns out you are an eligible registered voter and you vote by a provisional ballot, that ballot would be counted. If you're not an eligible registered voter, you know, you just moved here at the last minute, right before Election Day, after the deadline, or you're a student registered someplace else and you're not registered where you go to school, then that ballot will not be counted. But in every election, whether close or not, the people working at your county board of elections, whether it's in Allegheny County at that warehouse or anywhere else, they go through the process of scrutinizing every provisional ballot to determine whether the person is an eligible registered voter or not before deciding whether to count, making the before counting or not counting that ballot.
So, Secretary, I want to give you an example of a situation that occurs, I believe, across the Commonwealth. A person asks for their ballot, mail-in ballot, no-excuse mail-in ballot, and they get it maybe 5 days before the election in the mail, and they're concerned that they may not be able to mail it back in, and they want to exercise their right to vote by taking that ballot to their local polling place. Can you explain that process and what happens in those situations and what the poll workers do there and what happens to that ballot? At mail-in ballot, or how they would be able to vote?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Senator Acosta. So there's a couple of options. If you've applied for a mail-in ballot and you get it right before Election Day and decide to vote in person on Election Day and not return it to your Board of Elections, you can either, one, bring that ballot and the materials with you to your local polling place. You essentially turn them over to the Board of Elections there where they cancel it on the spot. They void it, and then you're allowed to vote on the voting system there at the local polling place. Or if you applied for a mail-in ballot and you left it at home, or your ballot was approved and you never got it, or something like that, you can still go to your polling place, in which case you would vote on what we just described, which is a provisional paper ballot. And then your Board of Elections will make sure, again, that you're an eligible registered voter and also that you didn't, in fact, apply for a mail-in ballot, return it, and then show up at your polling place and vote by a provisional. In that case, they would void your provisional ballot and only count your mail-in ballot. So there's no circumstances in which two votes are cast for the are counted for the same voter. But that is another use for provisional ballots is you didn't get your mail-in ballot in time, even though you applied or you left it at home or something else like that. Again, you can bring it with you to your local polling place, turn it over for it to be voided, and then you can vote on the system. Or if you don't bring it with you, you can vote by provisional ballot, and your Board of Elections would determine to make sure that it should or should not be counted.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that, because I know that creates some confusion with a lot of folks and are concerned about that. So, particularly with respect to the speed at which sometimes the mail-in ballots don't always get there by 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening. Ted in Pittsburgh is our next call. Ted?
Can you hear me?
Hello. Yeah, we can hear you, sir.
Excellent. So my wife and I registered at different times, and she gets notifications by email, but I don't. We both got our ballots, and they're ready to go, and she normally receives something that says, we got your ballot, and I don't. So what do I need to do to fix that? I got notified in February that they received my my application, and I got my ballot, but I'm not getting the same notifications that she is.
So when you apply for a mail-in ballot and you provide your email address, you should be receiving notifications every step of the way when your application is received, when it is approved, if approved, when the ballot is being prepared, when the ballot is sent out to you, when it's returned back, and when it's counted. So by email, I don't know if it's a matter of, in this case, like checking the junk email box or something like that. It is interesting you said you received the notification at the very beginning. It would have no impact on whether your ballot is counted or not, but it would give you more transparency to receive those email updates.
Okay, and I did have, I guess, a statement or a question. I'm not sure if this is the right venue for it. So I vote for a representative in the government, and I find it frustrating that we still don't have a budget. I'd like to know when we will or what's been done for it, but I think that's for a different location.
I'm one of the folks in Harrisburg here, and we are frustrated as well that we don't have a budget completed. We are now 113 days in to our our deadline, and it's extremely frustrating. But we are in a divided government, and I think that's part of the problem. We have a Republican party that is honing in on a spend number, much less than what the governor has recommended, and more importantly, much less than what the governor has recommended. And we have Democrats who think we need to find a more modest number in terms of getting a budget done, and that's where our holdup is. So it's frustrating we're not there, but we are trying. We're here in Harrisburg now. We had a lengthy debate today on some budgetary matters, and we're going to continue to have these conversations going forward. But it's extremely frustrating, and I know, you know, agencies are not getting the resources they expect to be received by this point. School districts are starting to borrow money to be able to pay bills, and other organizations are shutting down and closing hours, reducing hours, I should say, and services they provide. So we're disappointed we're not where we need to be. And quite frankly, we really need to apologize to the public for not completing our work. That's one thing we're required to do, and we're not able to do it, unfortunately. But Ted, the important thing is it has no bearing, as was indicated earlier by the Secretary, no bearing on our electoral process in terms of whether or not we'll be able to do a whether or not we'll be able to conduct our educations fairly and freely, and they'll be able to be done timely. But thank you for the call. We also have we have Ed from East Hills on the line, or Penhills, excuse me. Ed, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Okay. So who makes the laws for the election and or rules for the election voting in the state of Pennsylvania? And then my second question is, then who can change those laws or rules that govern these rules in the state of Pennsylvania? And is it the ballots have to be in, all ballots have to be in by 8 o'clock on election day? Or what is the, or the, I know if you're in the service, you get an extra couple of days, but is that it? If you're not in by 8 o'clock that night, your ballot doesn't count?
So let me start with the question regarding who makes the laws regarding Pennsylvania voting. That's done by the General Assembly, your General Assembly in Pennsylvania. There are some parameters at the federal level that impact that, but for the most part, most election laws are done by the General Assembly here in Harrisburg. With regard to the question of the who can change them, it would be the legislature as well. And then finally, the question about when your ballots must be returned. They must be returned by 8 p.m., as you indicated. But there are military overseas ballots that come in at a later, can come in at a later point in time. And I'll ask the Secretary to answer that part of the question, if he could.
That's right. There's a period after Election Day where military and overseas ballots can be returned and counted, provided that they are postmarked by 11:59 p.m. the day before Election Day. So they have a little bit more time to get back, provided they are postmarked by that date. So the ballot the Board of Elections knows that it was cast and in the mail prior to the close of the polls. But otherwise, for regular mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, they have to be back in the hands of your county board of elections or at their drop box, which is also in their possession, by 8 p.m. on election day. That's a good question, Ed.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Jake from Penn Hills. Jake, you want to go ahead? Jake, can you hear us?
Oh, hello?
Yeah, Jake, go ahead.
Oh, so. I apologize if you can't hear me while I'm sick, but I wanted to, I actually have a question, really with more of a statement of the importance, I think, of local elections. I think a lot of times, you know, they're played on, but I think the more local they are, the more they affect you every day, whether it's, the Senate, legislator, municipality, school districts, you know, and so I just, you know, that, people tend to not come out when it's an off year. But I do think that it's just at least just as important, if not more important, to come out for local elections.
And I appreciate you saying that, Jake. You're exactly right. Our elections at the local level are extremely important. Those are the ones that, you know, fund our municipalities, that end up funding our roadways. They end up funding our police departments, our public works departments. They're taking care of making sure we have adequate resources in our parks and the like. Our school district folks do a tremendous job at no pay, concern for the education of the kids in that district. They do a tremendous job, in my view, and the dedication, the time, and commitment to that, to me, is really important. So I want to say thank you to those folks in particular. I can tell you that as we move forward, some of the concerns that we have, that you're right, these off-the-year elections, as you're deemed, the municipal elections, the turnout is not as good as they would be in an even number of years where you have a gubernatorial race, or in a higher turnout when you have presidential races. These odd year numbers, the odd number of years, municipal years, are really important as well. This year in particular, as I mentioned at the outset, we have retention races. We have three justices of the Supreme Court up for retention. I hope to make certain the folks remember to vote in that area. Second one is a Commonwealth Court judge and a Superior Court judge are all up for retention as well as in Allegheny County, a number of Court of Common Plea judges. So while these off-year elections are largely municipal, these are important races that people have to exercise their right to vote to maintain these people in these positions or not. And so thanks for bringing that to the attention, but I am very supportive of our local officials who commit their time and their commitment to their community as well. Stav, you have some other questions we want to get to from us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jake.
I think we're going to Marcia in Penn Hills next. Marcia? If you're on the line, you can go ahead and ask your question.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to ask about provisional ballots. And I was told that provisional ballots are not automatically counted. That if a race is closed, and I'm sorry I'm driving, if a race is closed, then they count them. Is that true?
No, Marcia, it's not. And it's something that you hear a lot of. It's just that people and, you know, the news and all the rest really only pay attention to it when a race is close. So if there's 1,000 provisional ballots that are cast in a race and the winner is only 100 votes ahead of the person in second place, then there's a lot of attention on it. But even if somebody is running uncontested, meaning they're not running against any opponent at all, provisional ballots are still processed the same way in every election in every county to determine whether it's an eligible voter who's registered to vote and to make the determination whether to count that ballot or not. That's the only thing that results in provisional ballots not being counted is if the voter is not registered or the person is not registered to vote. Otherwise, they are counted, tabulated, and included in the election results in every election, whether it's close or not.
Okay. Because I was told that at the voting place, because they said that I was signed up for mail-in, which I wasn't, and did not receive a mail-in ballot, but on paper, I was signed up for mail-in ballot. So I did a provisional, and they said it may not necessarily, you know, it doesn't necessarily get counted, you know. That's just what I was told.
It would only not be counted if you had already submitted
voted.
The mail-in ballot,
mm-hmm.
or you were not registered to vote, or you don't, like, sign the envelope, outer envelope, and the few things that are required, and the instructions are really pretty clear to minimize the possibility that a voter would make a mistake completing it. I know sometimes it seems very complicated, and election administration isn't always the easiest thing to deal with, because there is so much information out there and so much out there that's wrong. But the instructions are very clear, and if voters follow those instructions, then they should have confidence that their vote will be counted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Someone online wanted to ask the question, do I need an ID to vote in Pennsylvania?
The law in Pennsylvania is the first time you vote, or the first time you vote at your polling place, if you move, you have to show one of several forms of ID. We have all the acceptable forms of ID. I'm sorry, I keep plugging our website, but it does contain a lot of information for voters at vote.pa.gov. It lists the acceptable forms of ID. But in Pennsylvania, we do have voter ID. It's for the first time you vote, or if you move, the first time you vote at your new polling place, you have to show ID.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Now we have a question from Alicia Penokmont. Has a question about when we can start counting ballots. Alicia, go right ahead.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having us tonight. I was curious when mail-in ballots started being counted, because I've heard that, I don't know, could we count as they come in, or must you wait until all votes are in at 8 p.m. to start counting? How does the ballot counting process in Pennsylvania work?
That's a really good question, and something that's helpful to keep in mind on election night, where we're waiting for election results. Many other states that have voting by mail, plenty of them red, plenty of them blue, allow the counties to begin processing those mail-in ballots prior to election day. That's not posting election results in advance. That's not any of it. It just allows them to begin that process earlier. In Pennsylvania, that process can only begin at 7 a.m. on election morning. So while other states, even states like Florida, which I would not normally look up to as an example of election administration in my lifetime, even Florida allows that process to begin many, many days in advance. So on election night, they're able to report the results of all their mail ballot votes, except for the ones cast on that day that haven't yet been processed. In Pennsylvania, we're at a unique disadvantage because our county boards of elections, who, by the way, have already been working around the clock leading up to election day, can only begin processing mail-in ballots at 7 a.m. on election morning and continue that until all those ballots are counted. And in many cases, especially big counties, that can take a couple of days for that whole process to play out, because you're talking about many hundreds of thousands of ballots in counties like Allegheny and counties like Philadelphia, when you can only begin that process at 7 a.m. on election morning. So when you hear about delays in results in Pennsylvania, they're not delayed at all. That is what is required by our law right now, unfortunately, that process can't begin until election morning.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We have one final question that was submitted online. Someone asked, can I bring my ballot and my spouse's ballot to my ballot drop-off location?
No. In Pennsylvania, you can only return your ballot to the County Board of Elections or ballot drop-off location or Dropbox, or put it in the mail, unless the voter completes essentially something called a declaration of assistance form, where they fill out this paperwork to establish that they're incapacitated and unable to return that ballot themselves. Let's say they're disabled and unable to leave their home, if they fill out that form, someone else can bring that ballot to the Board of Elections with them. But otherwise, voters in Pennsylvania may only return their own mail ballot.
So, Mr. Secretary, we have a couple of quick questions. I've got Maureen from Penn Hills about filling out a mail-in ballot. Maureen, can you quickly ask your question? Can you hear us? Maureen, going once.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please ask your question. Go right ahead.
Okay, I have a mail-in ballot, and I started to fill it out, but the first pen I used started to bleed through to the other side. It doesn't obscure the elective things in any way, but, like, it might confuse if it's, like, an automatic computer reader. Will that invalidate my ballot, or will it still be read accurately?
The Boards of Elections design ballots so that the results, the ovals that you fill in are not lined up with the ovals on the other side of the ballot. So if there is bleed through, it won't create a problem on the other side of the ballot. If you are concerned about it, you can reach out to your county board of elections, in your case, Allegheny County, to request a replacement ballot if you choose. And there's still enough time for them to send you a new one if you want. But just bleeding through the ballot would not affect the selections on the other side, provided the ovals on the other side aren't, you know, impacted by the bleed through of a pen. I would just use a regular pen, blue or black, not like a Sharpie or something else like that, just so you don't even have to be concerned about that issue.
Okay, cool. That's all I needed to know.
Great. Thank you. We have one question. Gregory from Pittsburgh. Gregory has a question about voting machines and authenticating the machines. Gregory, can you ask your question quickly?
Being with the takeover, it seems, of it being in Pennsylvania and a lot of local representatives changing to the other party, I just wanted to know if there's any guarantee that the voting machines are going to be if the voting machines basically are going to be authenticated and to give the constituents some type of guarantee that their vote against the Dominion machines was taken over, basically, that our votes were going to be calculated right. Because what happened up in Upper State New York, and when they did the investigation on the results of the elections, I just wanted to make sure that maybe we can get some type of guarantee that we're going to be our ballots are going to be calculated properly.
Any voting system used at the polling place in Pennsylvania is certified at the federal level and certified at the state level to ensure that it reports votes accurately. In addition, in advance of every election day, your county board of elections does something called logic and accuracy testing, where they test every voting a system that's used at every polling place to ensure that those votes are reported accurately when a voter casts them. And in addition, there are two audits after every election that all counties participate in where those ballots are essentially recounted to once again confirm that they were recorded accurately.
The only reason was because of when President Trump said what he said at the one thing about there, how things was done in Pennsylvania, and then later on it came out that the things were tampered with, and nobody has ever come up with or said anything about it. I just wanted to make sure that everybody is aware and they know that it's a possibility. And I just wanted to hopefully that everything is done with the up and up. I appreciate you all. I appreciate you all for having this meeting, and more people just need to get out and vote.
I agree with you in the answer that it's the most important thing is that everybody gets out to vote and that their vote be counted and counted accurately. I would only clarify that there is not a single case that I'm aware of in Pennsylvania in 2020 or 2022 or 2024 or any election in between where there was any evidence whatsoever that any voting system was tampered with in any way. And there have been no shortage of legal cases about all this, and none of those cases found any of those accusations to have any basis in fact whatsoever. So you should have confidence when you cast your vote that your vote will be counted and your voice will be heard.
I appreciate you. I just don't know how some of the people get, like, they took over to Pennsylvania the way they have. It's a mess. But you all have a great one. And
thank
I'm glad
you
had this meeting.
Have a great evening, Gregory. Thank you.
So you as well.
Before we hang up, a couple of folks have asked some questions in the chat or whatever. When are we going to get a budget passed in Harrisburg? It's been a long time. You're right, it has been. We're doing everything we can to get there. It requires all the parties to come together. We have a divided legislature, which makes it very difficult. And both parties have to agree to a document, so to speak, and that's what we're working on. There's another question about what's going on with the federal shutdown. How do we shut that? How do we stop that? That's a purely federal conversation. But I think if you're creating concerns, and we have concerns about the SNAP program that somebody raised, that's a concern to us as well. And we've got to take steps to address that and making sure we have food for individuals at our food banks and the like and everywhere else. Mr. Secretary, thank you very much. We've gone over our time. I really appreciate you spending this past hour with us answering questions and this dialogue that we've had. We hope it was informative for the folks on the who are listening and the several hundred who are participating in this conversation today. When, again, to the caller's last point, make sure everybody gets out and vote, and remember to flip the ballot and to vote for the retention judges on the backside of that ballot. That's extremely important. We don't want to miss that. Mr. Secretary, thank you again very much. The retention questions on the back of the ballot. That's exactly right. Please don't forget to vote those by flipping your ballot over and voting on those. So thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. Thank you to all the folks who participated. Everybody have a great evening, and look forward to our next chat some point in time as we go forward in the coming months. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you,
good night. Thanks, Secretary. Bye-bye.